Patriots Monday means Boomer Esiason joining us here on the Kirk and Callahan Show. We start with the Patriots and Packers last night at Gillette. And Boomer, it's one of these games where I felt like the Packers were making a comeback. They had all the momentum fourth quarter, one fumble by Jones, and that was the game last night for the Patriots.
Well, that's what it always is, and that's what it always comes down to. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
And, you know, just another great performance by the Patriots. Just a solid performance, I would say. And watching Belichick and Brady over the last 18 to 19 years, these are the games that you typically expect, especially when guys like Gronk and Sony Michel are now playing, and players like Cordell Patterson do things that you never thought he was capable of doing, and he does them his second week in a row. And, you know, I do have to take issue with Tom Brady, though. And, I know you guys talked to him, and I want you to ask him a question for me, all right?
Okay.
Because I know that there has to be something bothering him. And I saw it last night, and I was very disappointed in his effort. And that was the throwback pass Julian Edelman to James White. He was the lead blocker. He stopped in the middle of the play. If he continues to run, he's going to make the key block for a touchdown. So I want to know why he stopped on that play, okay?
And he could have taken out, was it number 90, the big bet nose card?
I think it's after last week he had a big block on a play, and he decided, you know
That's
what, this week
point.
We're not going to be quite as aggressive.
Okay, we'll grill him on that.
Actually, I say that tongue-in-cheek, but it's funny watching a 41-year-old in the middle of all of this madness doing what he's doing. And I don't necessarily know that we saw the shootout that we expected last night. But actually, the brilliance at quarterback play from the two of these guys, from Jared Goff yesterday and Drew Brees yesterday, I mean, just it's amazing what they're able to do when you think at the advanced age of Brees and Brady playing the way they're playing, at the level that they're playing. And then this morning I get up and I read Peter King's column on NBC.com, which was absolutely fantastic and spot on about the Patriots, who they are, why they buy in. That seems to be the word of the days today for them anyway. The players all talking about buying into what Bill Belichick is selling and how selfless they are in order to get to 7-2 and just continue to win.
You know, Boomer, you've been doing this for a while. We've been doing this for a while, and I say this all the time. One thing that Brady has done is ruin the number one topic in sports talk radio. Even 5, 10, 15 years ago, you and I would do this on a daily basis. Who's better, Brady or Manning or Montana or Marino or... And last week, it felt kind of contrived, this Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady. Did you guys do much of that in New York? I know they did it on ESPN, and SI had a big piece comparing the two. It doesn't seem like much of a comparison, even before last night.
No, there's no comparison, actually. And I think Aaron Rodgers put a stop to that last week.
Yeah.
You know, humbly saying, look, he's got the hardware. I don't. He's got the jewelry, I think he said. And I think that speaks volumes. And then the consistency and the longevity of the consistency. He doesn't miss games. He missed one season due to a knee injury. You know, in the case of Aaron Rodgers, I never really ever think we ever see the best of him because I don't think the coach controls things around him the way that Belichick controls things around Brady. I don't think the coach, Mike McCarthy, sets the track the way that Belichick has set the track in New England. So I think there's a little bit of that, but there's no denying his physical gifts and his ability to throw the football. I mean, one touchdown pass last night that he had in the corner where he just flicked it and it goes, 25 yards at about 25 miles an hour and it's just perfectly on spot. So he's a great player. There is no question about that. And the physical gifts are there, but the consistency, the greatness, and the winning are with Tom Brady in New England.
So and he's right. One ring, you can't be in the discussion with one ring. Drew Brees can't be in the discussion with a guy with five rings. And it felt like guys from New York, maybe, or guys from, you name it, elsewhere, who just hate the Patriots. You deal with, a lot of them. They just want Rodgers to be better. They almost, we call it a Kellerman. You pull a Kellerman. You just talk yourself into it.
You try to talk yourself into it. You really can. I mean, for me, I'm not in that conversation, but I'm allowed to have that conversation because I have 14 years of credibility of playing that position. So I know how hard it is. And I know the outside influences are what are amazing to me. You know, I think sometimes guys like Aaron Rodgers, maybe Peyton Manning, they do other things outside of the game that we see, whether it be the commercials, whether it be, who is he dating and all that other stuff. And then there's Tom Brady, who may be dating, married to the most beautiful woman in the world, who could have all the distractions that everybody else has, but for somehow, some reason, he is able to focus on one thing and one thing only. And I think that Bob Kraft told Peter King this last night before the game. there's Rupert Murdoch, and then there's Tom Brady. And Tom Brady does what he does at his advanced age, and Rupert Murdoch does what he does as at his advanced age, and neither is surprising to the great Bob Kraft. So, I don't know. Things are great this morning up there in New England. They should be, and it's a team that's selfless, which is the most important thing.
Boomer, one more quarterbacking question. So the Patriots start the game, and they go so fast where Collinsworth says, I've never seen them go this fast to start. Rodgers doesn't play that way. Is that because he can't, or is that a coaching thing? Because he has all the ability, obviously, to go super up-tempo. They don't do it the way the Patriots do it.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I love the up-tempo game. I'd like to think that I was a part of that when I did play, so I know exactly how you can get more out of that and how you can keep a defense on their heels and take advantage of certain situations. Third and one when he does his quarterback sneaks that we've seen in past years. I don't know why Aaron doesn't do it more, because I think Aaron is great in the no-huddle two-minute yeah. offense where they are at up-tempo speed, and that's one of the reasons why they were so miffed last week when Ty Montgomery fumbled the ball on the kickoff return, because they wanted Aaron to get the ball back. He knew he would take them down, kick a field goal, and beat the Rams. So I don't know why they don't do it. I think that's more of a personal thing. And I would tell you that, you know, Tom is so locked into this offense with Josh McDaniels that what you do, what you can use at your expense and at your advantage is the experience and to play fast and to get the most out of your players around you and put extreme pressure on the opposing defense.
Yeah, there was a great night for Josh McDaniels with the, you know, the Edelman throw and then the touchdown to Josh Gordon. He just looked good, and there was an interesting dispute in the booth and between Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth. I know you're going to take Al Michaels' side. You always do, Boomer.
Yeah,
but
okay.
You know, Collinsworth says that McDaniels will be a head coaching candidate this offseason, like, and we think Cleveland will be looking and maybe talk to him. And Michaels disagrees because he burned the Colts. And we had this discussion when it happened, you know, when your buddy Frank Reich got the job and Josh yep. McDaniel pulled out. Do you think that he burned bridges, or do you think that's all in the past and he will get a fresh start this offseason? Because he has been the hot guy in the past.
Well, you know, what I believe is that if there is a team that is desperate enough to bring credibility to their sideline, that Josh McDaniels will have his opportunity of many jobs. But I don't believe, I can't speak for Josh, but I don't believe that Josh is going to want to go somewhere where he has to be the second fiddle to the general manager. And that would be the case in Cleveland. Now, right. If Cleveland came to him and said, look, we're going to give you what Bill Belichick has in New England, and we want you to try to recreate it with this young quarterback, then I could see that happening. But I think Josh is way too talented to be just a head coach and go somewhere where he doesn't have as much control as he would like. And he has built up, I believe, the credibility, the cachet to be able to make that decision. And I think one of the reasons why, you know, he signed an extension with the Patriots is because he wants to finish out this unbelievable run that he and Brady are on. I mean, that's to leave that and to go elsewhere. I just think of Matt Patricia with Matt Stafford, right? I mean, Matt Patricia stood there on all those sidelines for all those years and watched Brady just absolutely demoralize opposing teams and do it maybe with not the, I don't know, the physical ability of a Matthew Stafford or an Aaron Rodgers, but the dedication to get it done. And then you see these guys leave and go away, and they're like, man, we had a great New England with Brady. So I don't necessarily know that Josh would be looking for a job, but I would think that you would want to stay with Brady as long as Tom wants to play.
Well, you mentioned it, Boomer, that if he gets the personnel, he gets the ability to pick the groceries. If he believes Baker Mayfield is the guy, isn't that the thing that will put over the top? I mean, he talked about all the quarterbacks yesterday between Mahomes and Goff. It is all about quarterbacks, and what could pull Josh, I guess, would be if Baker Mayfield, he wanted to draft him last year. If that's his quarterback, he gets to coach him. That might push him that way.
You know, I'm watching Frank in Indianapolis with Andrew Luck, and Frank is like, Boomer, this guy is the greatest coach player of all time, maybe right there with Tom Brady. He wants to be coached. He's selfless. He wants to be a leader. So I think Josh would have had that in Indianapolis had he wanted to go there, but for some reason he wanted to stay with Brady. And I don't begrudge Josh for any of this, to be honest with you. I mean, we all change our mind about things, and to be a part of something so significantly great and so long lasting that will never be recreated anywhere ever again in the NFL, in my humble opinion, I could see why he would want to stay. And I could see why he would want to ride this thing all the way to the finish, or if he decides to do that.
Or, you know, stay, maybe it's next year, maybe it's 3 years from now. I mean, he would be the heir apparent if Belichick decided to step down anytime soon.
Yeah, that's also a possibility as well. But, Look, I don't think he's burned his bridges. I know what Al and Chris were talking about last night. I think all owners care about is whether or not the guy on the sideline is going to get them the Super Bowl trophy. So,
right.
And he certainly has, like I said, all the credentials. He has the background. He's a great coach, man. I can't even begin to tell you how in sync they are and how I would say envious or jealous or any of us that have ever played the sport, watch them operate. It is like a machine, and they've been doing it for 19 years, which is just absolutely the most amazing aspect of all of it. And that's why Alex Cora was gushing the way he was on the sideline like a little kid last night.
Right.
Hey, I mean, it's amazing that he wants to sit down with Belichick and talk about repeating and everything. And I think the Yankees heard that. Now they're all nervous, and they may go out and sign some huge free agent like Manny Machado or something.
Hey, when you see a rookie, I find watching Red Zone now, it's like all I'm doing is watching the rookie quarterback, seeing how they're doing, because it's such a fascinating thing when these guys get their chance. We know some guys succeed even though they struggle as rookies, Troy Aikman and Peyton Manning. When you see Darnold, yeah, I was going to ask, did you think it helped to be a rookie or a young guy and get beaten up and get picked off? Because Darnold throws four picks, and I mean, I assume you don't think you still think he's going to be good.
Yes, of course I do. I mean, he's living the life right now of what it's the reality of a rookie quarterback. I mean, even Baker Mayfield to some extent
right.
is also living that life. I mean, I try not to overreact to any of this stuff. I do think that he looks to me like he's mentally exhausted, and he looks like he's spooked, behind center. Now, they had a couple of problems yesterday that, unfortunately, rookies, you know, have got to learn to handle, and one of those was his center had a broken, I think, middle finger on his snapping hand, and the ball was being snapped all over the place last night in the shotgun, and I don't think they could do snaps from under center because it was too painful for Spencer Long, their center. So he had to deal with a lot of that stuff. It's growing pains. They're going to be calling for Todd Bowles' head down here this morning. Their defense gave up 168 yards to Brock Osweiler and lost the game. I mean, that's how bad and inept their offense was and how bad Sam Darnold was. So he'll learn from it. He'll be better for it next year. But the question right now is, if you want to keep this team together, do you give Sam Darnold a little bit of a break? I think I would, because he looks like he's exhausted right now.
Boomer, last one for me. We'll see him tonight on Monday Night Football. Marcus Mariota, talk about young quarterbacks. The Patriots face him next week before their bye week. Has he been part of your conversation of the great young quarterbacks in the NFL, or is he a notch below that group?
Well, this year it has not been the case. In past years it has. It looked like he was on a trajectory to be that. But you remember, he got hurt in the first game of the year against Miami. Hurt his elbow, his throwing elbow, and really didn't have the ability to grip the football with his ring finger and his pinky, and had to wear a sleeve on his arm. And his teammates really do appreciate that he's actually playing. Most quarterbacks would not be playing. He's so quiet, and he's just such an introvert, it seems like, that he doesn't have the personality to be the big-time NFL quarterback that you would hope. But he practiced all week for the first time. He should be healthier tonight. Albeit going against one of the better defenses in Dallas, I think it's going to be a struggle for them.
Well, what would you have said if you were in the booth when Michael Thomas went looking for the cell phone after scoring a touchdown, this crucial moment, just gives up a 15-yard penalty, which helped the Rams. I mean, yeah. The announcers giggle about it, and last night I'm watching, even Tony Dungy was giggling about it. I'm thinking, I mean, you know you're going to get the penalty, and you do it anyway. Would you have – every time I talk about it, Boomer, it's, get off my lawn. You don't want to have fun. I mean, we see them dancing. Everyone's doing these great dances, and no penalty. No one has a problem. You really need props?
Well, I don't know why he did what he did. I was watching it yesterday with Phil, Coach, and Nate Burleson, and, I was livid. I thought it was a selfish play in a game that requires selflessness, and that's one of the things that Peter King writes in his article about all the players in the Patriots locker room. And Dwayne Allen, I think, says it's the best. He goes, look, you want to play here, you got to fit in, you got to buy in, and to buy in means you have to be selfless, and that's one of the reasons why they win. What Michael Thomas was doing yesterday and why he did it, God only knows. I don't necessarily know that Sean Payton knew on the sideline, but I'm sure he read him the riot act in the locker room. Now, I will tell you that there are a lot of blog sites out there that are lauding him for right. bringing back the Joe Horn idiocy. So I personally find it to be selfish. But then again, I'm a 57-year-old guy who appreciates how hard it is to win in this league and never to mess with karma, never to touch something that is really not yours. And he put his team in a really tough situation because the Rams had, I think, gained 18 yards on the kickoff. due in large part to where they had to kick the ball off from. So I think that Sean Payton will probably have a stern talking with him. I hope he does anyway.
Pats and Titans next week. Boomer, thanks so much. We'll talk to you then.
Okay, guys. Look forward to it. Have a great
week. Boomer.
You too.
See you
guys.